In this episode of the Tea and Table podcast, I'll talk about playtesting, perhaps the most important part of making an actually good game. Specifically, I want to summarize playtesting advice I've gathered from other sources, adding a little bit of my own humble opinions and interpretations, of course, and I want to reflect on my own playtesting habits. Since there is quite a bit of stuff to talk about, and since this is still a micro-podcast, I'll separate this into two parts, and you'll find the episode with the second part in your podcast queue next week, around the usual time. So if you've listened to a single podcast, or watched a single video, or read a single page in any book about game design, you will know that everyone agrees about playtesting being a crucial part of the game development process. And this isn't even specific to board games. It holds true for any type of game, and probably any type of experience even. You can't know if a game is truly fun without trying it, and most of the time it's also hard to predict whether your game works, meaning it's not fundamentally broken, even though I'm pretty sure that the latter, whether your game works, is easier to figure out than the fun question, and that it becomes easier with experience. So just by understanding the importance of playtesting, I think I've crossed off an important item on the path towards making a good board game. Admittedly, that path is fairly long, but progress is progress, right? So what have I learned from the various sources of playtesting advice that you can find online or hear from people in general? Notably, I think there are parts that everyone simply agrees on, and there are other parts where people's advice and opinions just differ, and where it makes sense to form your own opinions and find your own methods that work best for you and your games. In this episode, I'll focus on the first part, the very uncontroversial things that every somewhat In this episode, I'll focus on the first part, the very uncontroversial things that every somewhat reputable source will tell you, at least the ones I've consumed. First of all, take detailed notes of every playtest. Importantly, this doesn't just apply to the feedback itself, but you should also record a couple extra pieces of information. Which exact version did you play? Which changes did you make compared to the previous version? Who playtested the game? Which parts did you test? How long did you play for? What were the overall outcomes of the game? So who won by how much and why? It's also a good idea to take photos during and at the end of the playtest. You might think you'll remember all of this, but you won't. I'm personally pretty forgetful, so I've actually never had any delusions about this. I know I won't remember even 10 minutes later, so I definitely always write everything down. My strategy here is to take rough notes during each playtest and to record everything digitally afterwards. When I don't forget my notebook, I also think it's much nicer to write notes on paper rather than using my phone or any other electronic device, just because using a phone while playing a board game sends bad vibes and I generally don't like it. To keep track of playtests digitally, I use a standard note-taking tool, and I also just now created a bit more of a structure for that within my notes. So now I have a template to populate for each playtest so I don't forget about any of the details. A second point everyone agrees on is that playtesters don't typically have good solutions for the issues in your game, but they tend to be right about the problems. So if playtesters suggest changes to your game, your job is to figure out what the actual problems are so you can fix them. I personally don't disagree with this common piece of advice, but I do think it's worth listening to and considering people's suggestions and ideas. Sometimes while a suggestion may not be the revelation that fixes all of your problems, there might be interesting nuggets or inspirations somewhere within. That said, I've still found it very useful to separate problems from potential solutions in my playtesting notes. This way, you also avoid mentally locking yourself into a single solution when you might as well brainstorm for additional possible solutions to the actual problem you're trying to solve. So to be concrete, for each of my playtest notes, I list all the issues the test surfaced, and for each such issue, I list potential solutions below the issue. Third, everyone agrees that you can, and sometimes even should, simply end the game early if it makes sense. For example, if something just doesn't work, if one or multiple players are obviously having a bad time, or perhaps also if you've simply collected all the information you needed. Similarly, and let's make this point number 3.5, if possible, you can consider starting a playtest somewhere in the middle, so you don't end up with a really well-tested beginning phase and a really poorly tested endgame. This can, of course, require some mental gymnastics from players, so this might be a good idea only with playtesters who already know your game. Fourth, and this is my final point for the episode, don't be defensive or tell playtesters they're wrong. I guess taking constructive improvement suggestions seriously is generally good practice when requesting feedback for literally anything, so this is not a big surprise, really. And that's it for this week. I think in any discipline, there is no way to learn everything just by listening to other people talk about their learnings. But I do think you can be much more efficient on your own journey by learning from other people's mistakes and by taking their advice. Being able to do that is, of course, only possible because other people have chosen to share their advice and learnings. And while I frankly don't remember where exactly I got each piece of information, the following are probably my main sources for the points in this and the next episode. Gabe Barrett's Board Game Design Lab podcast and community, Justin Gary's Think Like a Game Designer podcast and newsletter, Jamie Steckmeyer's blog at stonemeyergames.com, Adam Porter's YouTube channel Adam in Wales, and The Art of Game Design, a book by Jesse Schell. You can also find all of these in the show notes for the episode. Anyway, I'm making this little two-part series also in part to create a little overview for myself and to collect the advice I've heard in a more structured manner. I hope that's also interesting or even useful to you, and I'll talk to you next time.